To my dearest friends, I am honored to welcome you back once more for another investigation into one of the most famous of regiments found throughout the vast armies of the Imperial Guard. If we were to crane our necks and peer up into the vast expanse of our galaxy, we would be met with the distant lights of untold billions of stars blazing out to illuminate a countless number of worlds, drifting as motes lost to the unfathomable abyss. If located in their system's Goldilocks zone, and if contained by a suitable atmosphere, then these planets may be seen of as habitable, meaning that they can harbor the great gift of life and potentially serve as a new home for the wayward souls of mankind. But for every habitable world, there will be a dozen that are far more dreadful than we could possibly imagine, and these have been given a name by the Imperium as the Death Worlds. These are planets which, for their own reasons, are so treacherous and so hostile to human life that it would be almost impossible for a human colonial effort to be successful in claiming the world for themselves. This could be down to the apocalyptic tectonic movements of the world, or of raging storms so strong that they flense the skins from your flesh, or simply due to the rabid terrestrial life forms which would maraud and decimate any settlement at the earliest sign of weakness. But humanity is nothing if not resilient. And so, when faced with the quandary of a death world, they will simply roll up their sleeves and gladly embrace the challenge. The subject of today's sermon will be focused on one such planet, named as Catachan, which I must point out is often pronounced as Catacan, though even our official sources will sometimes use these pronunciations interchangeably. Regardless, it is to be seen as perhaps the quintessential death world, being known far and wide throughout the Imperium as holding one of the most dangerous of ecologies, thus far encountered anywhere within our galaxy. Hostile, man-eating thickets, comprised of great twisting vines and thorny saplings, will sprout up overnight, quickly enveloping any human colonies as the great tangle of the jungle ceaselessly advances to swallow up and devour any caught within. Catachan devils, face huggers, and even the infamous barking toads will stalk through this foliage, being ready to hunt down a wayward soul who, once lost to the jungle, will surely never be found again. Yet, despite all the horror, this world is the home to one of the most famed and venerated of Imperial Guard regiments, found across the entire Imperium, and they would be known as the Catachan Jungle Fighters. Every moment upon this world must be earned from the nightmarish jungle, which has fostered an incomparably tough and hardy populace, who have since proven themselves as being perhaps the greatest of jungle fighters found within this time of ending. In any case, for today, we will be exploring all that we have thus far uncovered about the denizens of the Death World, starting with a broad introduction to Catachan itself, before learning of the many facets of the jungle fighters themselves. After, we will explore their regimental organization and of their tactics, before finally finishing by looking over some of their most notable of engagements. With this, however, I do believe that it is now time for us to begin. There can be nothing to truly prepare you for enduring the horrors of a death world, but today we must tie our bandanas and apply our war paints as we are to now delve below the canopies and explore the jungle fighters of Catachan. Within the westernmost reaches of Segmentum Ultima, we will find the most infamous death world of the entire Imperium, and its name would be Catachan. The history of this planet is most interesting, although in truth, we do not know of the exact date from when it was first colonized by humanity. Given that it is situated so closely to Holy Terra, it is no wonder that the planet was discovered and seeded by our star-faring ancestors during an ancient time, possibly during the Dark Age of Technology, given that this was the greatest period of human expansion from our early history. But regardless, mankind at this stage was known to have released a countless swarm of interstellar probes which would drift through the cosmos, transmitting back information on the worlds they encountered to inform the colonists of whether a planet was habitable or not. In the case of Catechan, the probes simply recorded that this was a slumbering world of verdant bounty coated in a thick layer of luscious foliate life. Naturally, this prompted an immediate colonial effort, as by all accounts, it sounded as though this world was fertile, and more importantly, safe enough for mankind to carve out a new home for themselves. Unfortunately, however, the intrepid explorers were ill-prepared for the sheer level of hostility soon to meet with them below the occlusive canopies. Their colony ships could not find any suitable landing zones, and so the pilots attempted to force the bulk of their crafts through the dense jungle. Yet this only led to the first in a long series of disasters. Their void ships were snagged by the shockingly dense trees, forcing them down into a fiery crash landing, which sparked such a riotous noise that almost the entire jungle was sure to have heard. The slumbering colonists awoke to the pandemonium and quickly evacuated from their ruined crafts, only to find themselves not in a veritable utopia, but within a treacherous jungle so overgrown that they could hardly see the grounds beneath them through all of the foliage. Some set out on scouting expeditions, but so dense was the jungle that it was as if it was a portal to another world. Small teams forcing their way through the tangle would simply vanish from sight, and rather sadly, those few who sought the salvation of their kin were simply never to be seen nor heard from again. Growing more and more alarmed, the survivors attempted to form a temporary base amidst their ruined starships, yet even this seemed utterly futile. After a short and sleepless night, the colonists emerged to find that the jungle had shifted, with new trees and thickets having sprouted up through the undergrowth, bringing the impossible density of the jungle ever deeper into their pathetic encampment. To make matters worse, thick barbed vines were seen to have breached the hull, winding deeper and deeper through the smallest of cracks, almost making it seem as though the jungle wished to drag them down into the earth itself. Each morning, the survivors would find new regions of impassable growth, slowly enveloping their base, whilst each night, vicious predators would emerge from the jungle, snatching away and tearing apart any who were not sharp enough to hear their silent approach. In time, the majority of the colonists had fallen victim to the jungle, and yet not all had resigned themselves to their seemingly inevitable fates. The most resilient and most able-bodied of the survivors were slowly learning the ways of the jungle, and with each passing day, they were developing new methods for holding fast against the implacable approach of the undergrowth. They equipped themselves with immense bowie knives and machetes to hack away at the encroaching vines, and used flamers to burn away the dense foliage, providing them with a clearing with which to erect the first of their true settlements. Their old colonial gear was not of much use in protecting them from the sweltering heat, so it quickly became common for the survivors to wear simple garments, exposing their skin to the elements, which they so begrudgingly chose to embrace. Yet even after adapting to the jungle, the new denizens of Catachan were still faced with a constant battle for survival. The strangle vines, if left to grow for a scant few hours, would begin to contort, constricting around whatever they had ensnared, being so strong as that they could crush the ceramite foundations of a hastily prepared bunker. Similarly, if the lichens and mosses were not burned away each night, then they would proliferate and begin to secrete potent acids, dissolving away the human safe houses until there would be little left but a rapidly shrinking pile of stone and mud. The survivors, however, were unperturbed, and they simply endured the hostile ecology, ever constructing new fortifications and developing new methods for overcoming the myriad dangers of the jungle. This arduous existence persisted for many thousands of years, until one day, in the far future, Catachan was rediscovered by the fleets of the Great Crusade, and it was then that the Death World was to be absorbed and incorporated within the growing Imperium of Man. By this point, the citizens of Catachan had since constructed larger and more permanent settlements by burning away immense swathes of the jungle. But even with their reinforced foundations, they were not to be safe from nature's relentless approach. The crusading forces, upon making contact with the denizens of the jungle, learned of their strenuous existence, and yet Catachan was now a part of the Imperium, and so it had certain dues to be paid for the benefit of all mankind. The world was ordered to pay a tithe solely in the form of a newly formed regiment of the Imperial Army, who would go on to be known as the Catachan Jungle Fighters. Their hardy upbringing had forged them into some of the most durable and adaptive of humans found anywhere within the burgeoning Imperium, and most of their populace were already trained in how to use a weapon, making them perfect recruits for a new force. In return for their troops, the Departamento Munitorum will supply the jungle planet with vital medical and military supplies, slightly easing the constant burden placed upon those who call this world as their home. Over the next 10,000 years, the guardsmen would go on to carve out a name for themselves as the finest of jungle fighters to have ever plied their specific craft, always knowing that no jungle could ever compare to the horrors which they faced back upon their home of Catachan. Now that we understand how they came into being and of the dangers found upon their home world, let us turn our attention more to the jungle fighters themselves to learn of why they are so prized and valued by the wider Imperium. To begin with, the Catachan jungle fighters are all veterans of the Death World itself. None will be permitted to join unless they were born and bred below the hostile canopies, as it is from their very upbringing, which begins one on the arduous journey of reforming oneself into a warrior of the jungle. It was once said that a single jungle fighter of Catachan was worth more than 10 guardsmen from a typical regiment, which may seem as though it is a bold exaggeration, but if placed within the jungle, I believe that they would be easily worth more than 100 of their distant comrades. It simply cannot be overstated how dangerous the world of Catachan truly is, but we previously learned more about the horrors of their world in a prior sermon, specifically focused on the hostile fauna found upon the Death World. Every native creature found upon Catachan has been classified as a predator, and so the humans who live here must seize each day from the maws of the stalking beasts who, if left unchecked, will simply run wild and devour all life within their path. This is not to say that the jungle is specifically targeting the citizens, as if any other alien species were to land here. Then they too would learn that their presence is most unwelcome, and they would quickly be hunted down, either by the jungle or by the jungle fighters, quietly prowling in wait. Coming back to our comparison with other guardsmen, the warriors of Catachan are notably stronger and more durable than of those who were born within the safe confines of a civilized world. This is undoubtedly due to the fact that only the toughest of humans were able to survive their early colonial expedition, whose families were slowly molded over the long millennia by the uncaring harshness of their environ. In truth, many of the Death Worlders are so physically capable that they would make excellent aspirants to be recruited into the many chapters of the Space Marines. This, however, is seldom found to be the destiny of a man born upon Catachan. The Space Marines typically avoid the Death World, finding its hostility to be too great of a challenge to overcome, as their own fortresses would quickly be swallowed up and torn apart by the relentless approach of the jungle. The citizens of Catachan, however, simply do not care, as they instead find far more pride in joining and bolstering their own jungle fighter regiments over the idea of abandoning their home and heritage within the monasteries of the Marines. Interestingly, once a Death Worlder chooses to join with their local regiment, they often do not need as much training as an equivalent recruit found within a conventional Imperial regiment. Understandably, this is because their entire upbringing will have taken place within the hostile jungles, where they would need to quickly adapt and learn of how to survive from the moment they first learned to walk upon two legs. A typical recruit, perhaps sourced from an agri-world, for example, would need to be rigorously trained in how to properly utilize a weapon, in how to fend off a hostile attack, and also simply to improve on their often inadequate physical abilities. A Death Worlder, however, will need no such training. From their youth, the citizens of Catachan will be given flamers for burning away the jungle, knives for hacking through the undergrowth, and las guns for picking off distant creatures, stalking them below the lightless canopies. It is inevitable for one to be attacked by a ravenous beast upon Catachan, but this wildlife is often far more dangerous than of what would otherwise be found in a distant battlefield, meaning that from a very early age, that the humans here will be unknowingly training themselves into the ideal form of warrior. For example, the native horrors known as Catachan devils are huge insectoids, which can grow far larger than of an Imperial battle tank. Yet it is actually a rite of passage for one to kill a devil with only a knife. Naturally, it would be hard for the Imperial lords to come up with a training regime which would in any way improve upon their natural upbringing. And so, the jungle fighter regiments are permitted to organize their own forces in whatever way they best see fit. The jungle fighters often eschew typical forms of Imperial apparel, preferring to go into battle with vests, combat fatigues, and little else. They are known to tie bandanas, often red in color, around their forehead, presumably to keep their sweat from running down into their eyes, which is probably a very common annoyance to be had when in the sweltering jungles. Most every jungle fighter will also sport a chest rig, sometimes improvised out of an old belt, which will be adorned with ammo packs, backup knives, and most importantly, grenades. Camouflage is nothing new to the Imperial Guard, but the Catachan jungle fighters will take it to a true extreme. For typical deployments, they will cover up their regimental or Imperial symbols with mud, so as to ensure that they do not catch any light and alert an enemy to their presence with their glinting. Further, if necessary, they will coat themselves in the same muds and soils of the grounds below them so that they may crawl through the war zone as if they were a part of the very jungles themselves. In all honesty, the jungle fighters would prefer to not receive any badges of honor for their duty. And so more commonly, the guardsmen will adorn themselves with tattoos, signifying their deeds and wartime experience. When it comes to war, an imperial commander who is faced with a campaign that may involve a jungle planet would be wise to call upon the natives of Catachan, who will be second to none in their ability to traverse the hellish tangle. Setting out in dispersed squads, they will understand how to best maneuver through the foliage and of where to lay the most effective traps that an unprepared soldier would be sure to walk through. Demolition charges attached to short-range detonators will often be found in the packs of the jungle fighters, who will dart out from the underbrush to lay several explosives within the treads of an enemy tank, before vanishing back and destroying the vehicle before their foes had a chance to realize what was happening. Any survivors will find themselves to be picked off by distant snipers perched within the canopies, while below, guardsmen sporting flamers and broad knives will emerge, being ready to mop up their adversaries in the glory of close quarters combat. We will speak more on their wartime strategies soon enough, but briefly let us look into more of their unique traditions, forged over the countless generations spent fighting against the very jungles of Catachan. Firstly, as I mentioned previously, the jungle fighters will adorn themselves with tattoos, sometimes to designate rank or experience, but many of them will choose to receive new inks for more personal reasons, or to celebrate their survival over a particularly dangerous encounter. On this point, the warriors of Catachan will not easily fit into the mold of a typical human, and rather they favor their own individuality, seeing it as having been earned from their arduous life within the jungle. Aside from their tattoos, this can manifest as the soldiers wearing customized equipment, carrying jury-rigged weaponry, or simply by acting out as an individual rather than a mindless drone. To some, this attitude can make them seem overly aggressive or dismissive of outsiders, but the fellows of the Death World all understand that this is mere banter, which often underlies with it a sense of bitterly earned respect. Due to their lives being spent within the most savage of jungles found across the galaxy, we can be sure that almost all of the natives of Catachan will be sporting an impressive, yet somewhat ghastly array of scars and wounds. Their muscular physiques will be marred by these memories of battle, with the guardsmen often being happy to retell each grisly tale, if only for the price of a stiff drink. The Death Worlders who wish to join with the jungle fighters must first kill a Catachan devil as a means to prove that they are both strong and cunning enough to hoist up the regimental standard of their home. This is no easy feat, with the largest of devils growing to around 30 meters in length, all of which will be encapsulated by thick plates of a chitinous exoskeleton, protecting the beast, which itself sports several terrifying pairs of razor-sharp fangs. It is not unheard of for a recruit to lose a limb or two during their attempt, but the warriors of Catachan will gladly sacrifice an old leg if it lets them get close enough to deliver the killing blow. The jungle fighters will often tell stories about a mythical creature known as Chensu, who has supposedly lived upon Catachan since long before the days where the jungles were first colonized by the early explorers of mankind. Hunting out of the Salvas Delta, she is spoken of with hushed tones as the queen of the jungle and the ultimate apex predator of Catachan. Described as a colossal feline, she is coated in thick, bony plates, almost akin to a lizard, which are themselves black as night, making her all but invisible, save for her gleaming eyes, when she sets out to hunt beneath the darkness of the canopy. One jungle fighter claimed to have bested Chen Su thanks to the well-timed blast of a grenade which he was still holding when the creature bit down and tore off his arm. We do not know if this killed the beast, nor of whether or not it truly was Chen Su herself, yet the guardsman happily received a cybernetic replacement for his arm and quickly returned to duty within the guard. The regiments of the Katachan jungle fighters are organized in much of the same way as of any other Imperial Guard force, with there being captains and generals found in command, leading over the various squads of guardsmen who are often specialized towards performing certain tasks upon the battlefield. With that said, over the long millennia, the culture of the Death World had shifted towards more of a tribal system, where small communities would be built around several tightly knit families who would elect their own chief or headman to guide the rest of their kin. This practice has persisted into the jungle fighting regiment, where the guardsmen will carry out a similar election in order to choose their sergeants and officers. We do not know of what opinion the senior imperial lords hold for this tradition, but it is doubtful that they would ever have the stomach for sending a delegation to Katachan in a feeble attempt at swaying them from their election practices. Another interesting quirk of the jungle fighters is that their regiments will often be founded around regions which contain several large tribes, who will be the only candidates that are permitted to eventually join with the local regiment. This means that it is quite common for family members to fight side by side within the regiments, with entire squads sometimes consisting of relatives who have already formed a lifelong bond with one another. As a result of this, the armies of Katachan are frequently noted to work far better with one another when compared with the guardsmen of a conventional regiment. We should remember that for a typical imperial army, that recruits may be drawn from hundreds of distinct worlds, and so there can be a lot of friction between the new soldiers, who may have been brought up on opposite sides of the galaxy. Aside from being far more coordinated than their counterparts, the Katachan squads are also notably superior at adapting their tactics when faced with a deadly or changing obstacle. Their arduous upbringing upon the Death World will have prepared them for a life where nothing can be taken for granted, and where one must always keep their senses sharp, lest they fall victim to some unseen horror. But importantly, the recruits will have likely faced off against the ambush of prowling insectoids more times than they can count, or of the sudden realization that their home has been overrun with a swarm of noxious and poisonous flies. Situations such as this will have prepared them for the worst possible outcome when deployed out on a distant war zone, certainly far more than of a recruit sourced from a cardinal world, whose only hardships might be that their ecclesiastical processions sometimes make their feet feel a little sore. Because their squads are so tightly knit and dedicated towards fighting for each other, the jungle fighters have no real need for the watchful service of a commissar. The officers of the Scholar Progenium will usually attach themselves to a squad of guardsmen to ensure that they remain faithful and devoted to their missions, sometimes executing the cowardly so as to dissuade any others from retreating from battle. But the hardy fighters of Katachan will find the presence of a pompous outsider marching into their camp to bark orders to be little more than an insult from the Imperial Lords. They will pay no attention to the commissar, sometimes stealing and throwing their pristine equipment out into the jungle as a clear message that they are unwelcome and do not belong. In more extreme cases, if the commissar continues to harass the already loyal fighters, then the squad will come together and quietly dispatch the outsider before blaming their disappearance on the ceaseless advance of the careless jungle. In terms of specialized units, the battle-tested veterans of a dozen campaigns will sometimes come together to form Catachan Devil Squads. Named after the fearsome beasts of their world, these are the most accomplished of jungle fighters who require naught in the way of support to achieve their goals. Typically, they will be deployed deep behind enemy lines for protracted operations based around subterfuge and sabotage so as to heavily disrupt, if not outright destroy, the entirety of the adversarial army. Perhaps the most famous Catachan devil would be of the legendary figure named as Sly Marbo. The fellow jungle fighters will speak of him as though he were a myth, boldly claiming that he has taken on entire enemy forces by himself, stating that he is, in fact, a one-man army. The veteran guardsmen of Catachan will also form squads of Death World assault teams, who can be equated to the aforementioned devils, though they are far more gung-ho and aggressive in their style. They will prefer to take up a wide assortment of short-ranged weaponry, including melter guns or flamers, before pocketing a healthy collection of grenades and diving directly towards the front lines to find the areas where the fighting is at its thickest. If a guardsman shows themselves to be a truly exceptional marksman, then they will be hand-chosen to serve within the veteran sniper squads of the regiment. The snipers will need to exemplify two things, one of which is obviously their impressive accuracy with a rifle, but the second is that they will need to be able to effortlessly navigate any harsh environment, purely so as to find the best sniping positions within a battlefield. More so than their Death World compatriots, they will be expected to quickly and quietly scale tall trees and to set up a concealed sniper's nest within the high branches, all the while avoiding any poisonous barbs or hostile animal life which had already claimed the tree as their home. Interestingly, the Catachan jungle fighters are well known for their utilization of ogrins within their armies. For those who do not yet know, ogrins are enormous abhumans, meaning that they are mutants whose existence has been sanctioned by the Imperial Lords, though they must now spend their lives entirely in the servitude of the Imperium. Standing at around 3 meters in height and weighing in at an impressive 1 ton, they are primarily utilized as shock troops, mainly because they are bereft of anything beyond a rudimentary form of intelligence. As a side note, because the Catachan jungle fighters are so physically large themselves, some of the wider Imperials have started to refer to the regimental forces with the nickname of the Baby Ogrins. Though they are more of an infantry-focused army, the jungle fighting regiments will still utilize a wide range of vehicles, but they will typically favor light tanks and highly mobile walkers. Chimeras and hellhounds will be stripped down, sometimes revealing their crew compartment, which will then be covered by a camouflaged netting, mainly because the jungles of Catachan are so swelteringly hot that to step inside of a sealed tank will be akin to a death sentence. The Catachan pattern of Sentinel Walker has been specifically designed for the forces of the Death World, being equipped with a huge chainsaw for slicing through the tangled jungle, and of a heavy flamer for burning away those who would dare to hide within. There are many famous units within the armies of Catachan, with one notable example being of the so-called Swamp Rats, who were led by Colonel Gator for over 7 years during a protracted war against the devouring beasts of the Tyranids. During the campaign, the Swamp Rats would retrieve and butcher the corpses of the slain Tyranids, only to coat their own skin with the foul blood, innards, and general detritus of the alien dead. This allowed them to not only build up an immunity to the Tyranid toxins, but also to mask their own scent, allowing them to effortlessly avoid the feral aliens so that they could hunt down and exterminate the leading hive beasts. According to legend, after the war concluded, the swamp rats were sent to a decontamination vessel before they could be returned to active duty, a stay which apparently took them 2 entire years to complete. The jungle fighters of Catachan have arisen from being yet another regiment of a backwater death world into the status of legend, where next to the Cadians they are perhaps the most well-known and well-respected of guardsmen found across the entire galaxy. Naturally, they have since been involved in hundreds of notable campaigns, many of which were decided solely by the deployment of the jungle fighters who could understand and navigate the hostile battlefield like no other. Though Catachan is indeed a treacherous world, during the turn of the 42nd millennium, it was destined to become ever more deadly, as it was in fact caught rather close to the colossal warp storm of the Great Rift. Since it had not been engulfed by warp activity, the Imperial Lords were forced to direct the fleeing flotillas of refugees and guardsmen towards the jungle planet, even if it was most assuredly a poor choice of world for supporting a sudden influx of desperate survivors. The natives of Catachan, remaining obstinate in their beliefs, refused many of these ships, not out of a lack of care, but simply because they understood that the jungle itself would swallow up these outsiders and that they would find no kindness amidst the trees. The regiment of the Tuloshan Grey Companions were the only ones given permission to land, as the Deathworlders saw their immense physical strength as being proof that they might be able to endure the harshness of the Tangle. Unfortunately, however, this strength was in fact born within the warp, as the regiment had fallen into the worship of Khorn, a heresy which was revealed when the traitors launched a surprise attack upon the jungle fighters. The blood which they spilled was channeled into a great ritual from which the heretical scum opened a portal to the domain of the Blood God, inviting a horde of savage demons to charge out and invade the world of Catachan. As the Neverborn spread through the jungle, however, they quickly found their advance to be rather slow. The native beasts of Catachan discerned no difference between demon nor mortal, and so they fell upon the hell-spawned forces with a truly impressive sense of ferocity. The flora of the jungle was similarly unfazed by the unwelcome incursion, and any areas which were reduced to ash by the raging warp fires simply grew back overnight, quickly erasing the malicious trail of chaos. In short order, the legendary Colonel Ironhand Strachan arrived with his regiment of the Green Vipers, who some would consider to be the most esteemed and prestigious of all jungle fighter forces. Rather than attacking head-on, the Colonel chose to use the jungles to their advantage by launching a protracted guerrilla war against the invaders, slowly whittling away at the demons and heretics who were ill-prepared to survive against the constant hostilities. Most of the renegade guardsmen from the Grey Companions died in the first week, primarily falling victim to disease, though many were also claimed by the vicious predators of the jungle, eagerly tearing apart their poorly defended prey. The demons, however, were strengthened by the ongoing slaughter, so much so that they channeled the blood of the fallen to produce a sanguine monsoon, flooding the jungles in a rising tide of crimson gore. This did very little to dissuade the veteran jungle fighters, some of whom simply laughed and recalled having experienced similar meteorological events before strapping up their boots and advancing deeper into the grisly tangle. Over the following months, the demonic invaders were slowly yet steadily hunted down to the last, with their packs falling victim to the combined attacks from the rabid predatory beasts and from the dogged forces of the jungle fighters. When the revived Primarch Gelimun reached Katachan with his Indomitus fleet, he curiously found that it was perhaps the only world which had managed to withstand and recover from the chaotic invasions of the Rift. This was a truly impressive feat indeed, but for the jungle fighters, they simply shrugged, calling it as yet another day lived in the shadow of the jungle. In more recent years, during the galaxy-spanning event of the Psychic Awakening, Katachan was caught within the warpath of a famous pirate captain of the Orcs, known as Badruk, who was barreling through the stars at the head of a crude yet deadly armada. Strangely, later sources revealed that the freebooter boss was actually leading his forces in the bloody wake of a wounded void whale, which itself was around 10 times as large as of the Orky flagship. As it drifted, the whale left a dark trail of blood and viscera through the abyss, which the Orcs found great pleasure in splashing their crafts within, sometimes making it appear as though they were surfing on a cosmic wave of blood. But in any case, the wounded whale appeared to be making course for Katachan, though as of today, neither the Leviathan nor of its hitchhiking Orc armada appears to have reached the Death World. But only time will tell to see if the Orcs can survive within the deadly jungles once they finally arrive. The jungle fighters were commonly summoned to fight within the Tyrannic Wars, since the intergalactic beasts were considered by some xenologists as being rather similar to the native fauna found upon Katachan. During one such battle against the foul creatures, a gunnery sergeant, named as Harker, famously leapt upon a charging ravener and crushed its alien neck with what eyewitness accounts quote as his enormous biceps. The sergeant now more commonly goes by the nickname of Stone Tooth, and he reportedly carries a personalized heavy bolter, which he has named as Payback, with the same ease that another guardsman might find from lifting a mere rifle. Sly Marbo, the Katachan devil himself, is at this point more myth than man. The boastful jungle fighters will claim that he can outshoot a Vindicare temple assassin, outflank an entire troop of Eldari rangers, and even beat an Orc war boss in hand-to-hand combat. Amazingly, these are not mere stories, as the devil can in fact back up each of these claims, though his current whereabouts are almost entirely unknown, as he is most often sent out alone on clandestine operations, sometimes for many long years at a time. The most outlandish of tales state that he once destroyed a Bane Lord Titan, which is the chaotic equivalent to a warlord. However, this story has since been classified to all but the most senior of imperial lords. During the 13th Black Crusade, many guardsmen began to attribute any mysterious victories upon a battlefield as being the work of the Katachan devil. If an enemy camp was found deserted, if their opposing commander had his throat cut in the cover of night, or even if the guardsmen found a fresh cache of supplies, then they'd put it down to the hard yet unseen work of Sly Marbo. I previously mentioned that the jungle fighters will often utilize Ogryns in their deployments, but there is one who has grown to a surprising level of galactic fame, and he would be known as Nork Dedok. Being stationed within the 2nd Katachan Regiment, he was initially tasked with serving as the bodyguard to Colonel Grice, who grew rather fond of the big bonehead after he saved his life from a dozen fatal encounters. In time, he was handpicked to undergo a procedure which would enhance his intellect, which proved itself to be successful, as he can now count on his fingers as high as 4, a great achievement for all of Ogryn kind. Interestingly, Many of the heroic figures who I have introduced are all part of the aforementioned 2nd Regiment of Catashan, nicknamed as the Green Vipers. Colonel Grice, master of Nork Dedog, was in command of this force until he received a grievous injury at the hands of a charging orc mob. He was later replaced by Colonel Ironhand Strachan, who now leads over such legendary figures as Gunnery Sergeant Harker and of Sly Marbo, the fabled one-man army. This is only one regiment of the famous jungle fighters, and so when we consider that the world has since produced hundreds of similar forces, then perhaps we can come to understand as to why the armies of Catachan are seen of by the Imperium as being so legendary. To an outside observer, the planet of Catachan is nothing short of a hellhole, replete with deadly, suffocating jungles which shelter only predatory beasts who will hunt you down and devour you if given even the slightest chance. In all fairness, the humans who call this world as their home would likely agree. And yet, they have gladly embraced the constant challenge which comes with living upon the most hostile death world that the galaxy has ever seen. Each day must be seized from the maws of a starving creature, and each night must be sleepless as one watches for the prowling horrors slinking through the underbrush in their pursuit of hot flesh to consume. But the dawn is just as bright upon Catachan as on any other world, and a life of hardship has simply reforged the jungle fighters into becoming some of the most psychologically and physiologically durable of humans found across the entire Imperium. But with this, my dearest friends, I do believe that we have come to our end. There are many more tales of heroism to hear on the Catachan jungle fighters, but they will have to wait for another day. In the meantime, thank you all for listening to this sermon in its entirety, and know that I shall soon return with ever more tales from the grim darkness of the 41st millennium. For now, however, as I close this chapter and depart once more, know that I will wish you all with a very warm and everlasting goodbye.